Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Friends.
Joe is a pastor of Neighborhood Church down in the Jackson neighborhood, and they're just doing incredible work down there. But what Joe's sort of alluding to is this idea that what God has begun in this church is something pretty special. And the fingerprints of this place are all over because of individuals like you whose lives have been changed by the gospel, who said, man, I want to go do something for Christ in our city. And so you're doing it. So it's really encouraging for that story to be told. 8 months ago, which seems like a decade ago, but 8 months ago, we had a celebration event for the first and only capital campaign we have ever done at Fresno State. And it was an incredible event, and we talked about it a lot before that event, running up to it, and then did that event, and in some ways went sort of dark behind the scenes, putting pieces together, and moving the progress sort of along behind the scenes. And so we want to show you what's happening. To the people watching this weekend at FIG, you've been seeing what's happening because that Southern Kids Wing at FIG is almost done, which I'll show you here in just a moment. But for the guests that are with us who don't know what Cultivate is, I want to just explain to you a little bit about what we're trying to do and why it might be a little different. Cultivate, essentially, is a capital campaign that had three goals. The first doesn't make any sense. The first is we wanted to strategically reinvest $500,000 into gospel-centered initiatives in our city. The reason I say it doesn't make any sense is why would you do a capital campaign and give the first $500,000 away? Because for the Well, it's about the ministry. It's not necessarily even about us. It's about trying to fuel what God is doing. And so what we've done with First Fruits and the threefold sort of goals of Cultivate is to give away $500,000. We call it First Fruits. Two is we wanted to renovate our Fig Garden campus. And three is relocate this North campus. The question, though, is why? And ultimately, we feel like God is calling us to reach the next generation. Oh, God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, oh, God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to your power to this generation, your strength to all who are to come. This sense of like, let's be about reaching the next generation. That's our calling, and that's who we've been from the beginning. Let me just, if you're a guest, catch you up to speed on what is happening in First Fruits. These are the organizations we've partnered with, some of which are fighting the issue of orphan care, some human trafficking, some local initiatives, and even a couple local churches. We are heavily invested financially in helping support other churches because they're doing a work in our city that's worth supporting. You see, we're not in competition with other churches. We're on the same team. We're in competition with every alternative use of time and affections other than the things of God. And so these are some of the organizations that we are partnering with. And we launched this in October. And given to date, we've already reinvested $81,000 into these strategic initiatives. That's not counting a $50,000 investment into St. Res Baptist Church in Southwest Fresno to help them build a park because there's no green space out there. And so we're really excited to see First Fruits happening. But just a reminder, what that means, though, is over the three-year period of Cultivate, because Cultivate has three goals in 3 years, we are going to, as a church, strategically reinvest over $2 million into missional opportunities, both locally and globally. So if you wondered, as a guest, what kind of church you're a part of, this is a very generous church trying to make a difference in our world. And so we think that sort of speaks for itself. But the second goal of Cultivate was what we called renovation. So for the folks at the FIG campus, again, you've been living this. But here's what we wanted to do. We wanted to upgrade the children's facilities over there. And in so doing, we're going to pick up about 7,000 square feet to a facility that if you have never visited, I highly encourage you to go because it is absolutely beautiful, stunning. The kind of architecture built in the early 60s, you just don't see anymore. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. Stained glass, pews, the whole thing. But the kids' facilities were a little antiquated. So this is where we're at as of this week. So this is the Southern Kids Wing. We've completely covered the courtyards, renovated the central space. Everything we do, by the way, at all of our campuses is the same thing for our kids that we're trying to do for our adults. Let's gather in a large group space, and then let's break up into small groups. And so you can see we are almost done. I hesitate to say exactly when, because I said so at FIG last week, and the people that do building stuff go, don't say the date, everybody will be upset. Soon, how's that? Soon. And as soon as this one's done, by the way, we're going right to work on the Northern Kids Wing, because this facility is a beacon of light in the center of our city. And we're really excited to see this process going. By the way, by the generosity of our church, we've gotten obviously a line of credit from the bank that we can use if we need to. We haven't even had to touch it. We've cash flowed this whole project to date, which is incredible. So really, really excited about that. This, though, so far, these are all things you've heard about, things you've seen. But there are some things you have not seen. And so I want to share with you a little bit about what we're thinking regarding relocation. Now, you might say, why would we relocate from this campus and move? Well, the reality is because that's how big this campus is. We're looking at a 5-acre property. And what most people don't know is we do 10 gatherings a week, 4 of which are over at FIG, 1 in Spanish, but 6 of them happen here. So we do midweek, of course, and then 8:30, 10, 11:30, 5, and 7. That is a Sunday for us. So we're turning this facility over. Monday nights, we do regen here. Tuesday nights, junior high. Wednesday nights, high school. Thursday night, midweek. This building is used all the time. And as you can see by that, we just don't have any green space. So what we thought we'd do is maybe just do a little bit of upgrade and get us some more space. And so what God provided was a 10x move that we think is going to reshape our ability, enhance our ability to do what God's called us to do in reaching the city. But I want to share a little bit about the history.
You know, the history behind all this, this Palm Tree Drive, goes way back to the 1800s. And the Owens brothers, in the mountain that's off to the northeast, is called Owens Mountain. And the Owens brothers own this property. This is why this Palm Tree Drive is here, because it led up to the racetrack. My grandfather in 1941 had purchased this ranch out of bankruptcy. So when Dad came back from the war, 1945, he purchased it from my grandfather for $56,000. He had some figs. First thing he did was pull out the figs, started planting peaches. This house was built in 1950. All of us were raised in this house around a very small, I think less than 5 foot round dinner table. Dinner was at 6 p.m. and we better not be late. At the end of dinner, we were then tested, all the Supreme Court justices. Many a business deal was done in that dining room. Bluebell ice cream, Kraft Foods were won over not only by both my brother and my dad's abilities to sell, but my mother's fried chicken. That's what really sealed the deal. We were the 15th frozen peach processor in the United States in 1963. Without this farm, we would have never survived in the frozen food business. We've had birthday parties, many Fresno State events here, a Valley Children's Hospital events. I think most every nonprofit has probably had an event here because of the grounds, the ease of parking. You know, we didn't have the train, didn't have the merry-go-round until 88, 89. When Dad passed in 2014, you know, our alliance with Fresno State and St. Agnes and a lot, we were trying to figure out, well, what would be the best plan for this particular 10 acres. And we're in no big hurry to make anything change. Until that Wednesday afternoon in November of 2017, when Brad and Rusty took me to lunch and asked my advice on some, I thought, northerly property. Never to my knowing that it would be perfect on perfect. Everything about it just fell into place. The mention when my brother asks, so how much do you want? We thought 10, 15 acres. And when Brad said, what would you say if we wanted it all? I think we all sat back in our chairs and says, wow. I think every time I talk to Betsy and Carol and Bob, it is probably one of the best things and honoring things that we could have done for our parents. Again, family is really important to us. And understanding the youth across the street, the era that we live in, the social media mess that continues to come through and diverts our real things of the heart. I think there's no better place than to have the Well Community Church on this property, maintaining it, growing it for the future, dragging those young minds of youth over across the street and doing the right things, teaching them the Word of God. So we are all in. I don't think there could have been a better opportunity for us to turn this 50 plus acres into something that is honoring to God and honoring to our parents. And for that, we're moving forward.
Yeah, moving forward. The question, though, of the hour is moving forward how, where, and what. And so we've been working behind the scenes with a great team of folks that have been wrestling with this. We have a great contractor that we hired in Queering that's doing a good job helping us value engineer this property and giving me a little sticker shock along the way. We've got a great architect in the Taylor Group and Russ Taylor who's helping us design this. We have a great landscape architect in Broussard & Associates with Terry Broussard helping us design what we think is phase one of a pretty special project. Now, before I show you, though, what we're looking to do, I want to just give you, welcome to the Well, I'm going to give you more information than I probably should. Just this week, we finally got real numbers for what I'm about to show you, and it's north of where we need to be. And so don't fall in love with what you're going to see, because we're going to have to make some adjustments to get this thing down a little bit, but we think the concept is right. We think what we've drawn so far is right, and I don't want to take the air out of the balloon, but I know what happens as soon as you show somebody a drawing. They go, well, why didn't you do what you showed me? Because we can't afford to do what we're about to show you, but the heart and the skeleton of what we're wanting to do is there. And so this is what we're thinking, phase one for the development of the property. We want to create something that is in keeping with the ag roots of this property. We want to create something that is a feature that the city of Clovis can be proud of, because this will be the primary thoroughfare between Old Town and Heritage Grove, which is under construction even now. And you're going to see we're going to focus all of our attention on what looks to be about an 18-acre parcel on the corner of Clovis and Neese. That's where we'll try to put our sort of stake in the ground. That's where phase one begins. With that in mind, though, I want to show you, if we can, sort of what that looks like as we drill down into each of these buildings. We're going to build essentially two buildings. One is a temporary sanctuary. One is a rectangular kids' space, half of which we're going to see if we can occupy for officing. And as the kids' space needs it, we'll vacate. But it's a facility really designed for kids, which I'll show you here in just a moment. From a sanctuary standpoint, here's what we're looking to do. Something like this. It's about a 1,400-seat auditorium, not ginormous. It's got a big lobby as you walk in. All of your littles are in the main sanctuary with us, so your nursery, your walkers, your toddlers are all right here. It's got a little back-of-house stuff for our worship things and that kind of deal. It's a very simple design in that regard. Probably going to be done, we're guessing, a prefabbed sort of metal building that we put some lipstick on. And so that's the most affordable. That's kind of what we're looking at. That is going to be the sanctuary. It's going to look something like this. So think winery. Think Healdsburg. Think Napa kind of vibe. Lots of stone, lots of wood, lots of pergola or sort of awning type stuff off in front, that kind of thing. We really want it to be something that feels like it belongs on the property, feels like it's connected, and is something that you want to come and hang out at. So the whole thing, by the way, is revolving around a central courtyard, as you can see. The main lobby on this side of the building sort of emptying out into this gathering space. So to the people at Fig, you've inspired us. We know that your facility over there is better than this facility here, and so we're trying to create the same kind of thing with a centralized courtyard. From a kid's classroom perspective, it's pretty simple. Same kind of vibe that we have on all of our campuses. In fact, even the remodel at Fig looks very simple to this, or very similar, rather, to this. Large group space and small group space, because everything we do is large group, small group. So by the time your son or daughter graduates high school, is in college, is hanging out with the rowdies that are seven, whatever, they're going to like roll their eyes. Like, of course I come to church, and of course I'm in a small group. I've been doing that since I was five, because that's the model that we think is a healthy model for a church. So anyway, that's what we've got there for the kids. Regarding the expansion piece, when you notice the property, it's kind of built in that circle. We wanted to create a space that was almost a park in the community for the community. So in this space, that rectangular kids and office building has a breezeway that blows through. So we envision, you know, moms or dads coming out with their strollers, going on walks, playing on the play structure. The restrooms are going to have external access so the community can come and have a facility in the neighborhood for them. Huge play structure out there for the kids to hang out at. We would love for this to be a destination for people in the city. And they go, man, I love that facility. What is that place? Like, oh, that's that church. We would love that. It's a place of gathering. Regarding the office component, pretty simple and self-explanatory. Cube City in some places, individual offices for those that need it. We have not ever had, well, at least not in years, had an office that's really conducive to what we do. Some of you, in fact, have shown up. Our office is our bag. We find a kid's room that's available, and that's what we use for the day. So we're looking forward to finding a place to put our staff. But if I can be gut-level honest with you, if we can't value engineer the property down so we can afford it, that'll be the first thing to go. Because I'd rather office out of my bag and be able to make the move than not. And we know that would be a significant savings that we can add on later if we had to. But I just want you to know that may not be there. The idea being, by the way, is we can't go halfway. You can't move the adults and not the kids, and you can't move the kids and not the adults. We either go or we don't. It's all or nothing. There is no middle ground. And so we're going to find a way to make it work. So we're going to ask Terry Broussard, our landscape architect, who is brilliant, to get his eraser out. We're going to ask him to make some changes there that can simplify. We're going to say to Russ Taylor, you got to pull some lipstick off this thing if we need to. We've got to make it in budget. And so this is where we're at. This is what it'll look like, by the way. Same kind of vibe as the other buildings. Lots of light, which is different than the North Man Cave that is today. Lots of windows, lots of space, lots of gathering opportunities for folks. Really, I think has a really exciting feel to it. All of it dumping into that central courtyard yet again. So the feature in some ways is not the building. The feature is the landscape. The feature is the gathering space, the public space, the common space sort of out in between these buildings. By the way, the green that you see on the top is really a placeholder. We're going to put grass there. Probably won't do all of the trees you see at the top in terms of filling that oval. Probably do more grass and some planter beds, because that'll be a placeholder for a future sanctuary if we need it. We have no idea what God's going to do. We could move over there and grow by 200 people, and fine, great. We can drop a gathering and simplify a little bit of what we do and have enough room to grow into it. We could move over there and grow by thousands, and now all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, phase two, queue up a sanctuary. We don't know. We're going to see what the Lord has for us. We focus on health and allow for growth. That's who we've always been. And so we think moving from a 750 sanctuary at North to 1,400 gives us a little bit of some breathing room. The feature being the courtyard, though, this is what we think it would look like, something like this. So outdoor covered areas, nice seated areas, areas under trees, maybe some fire element out there, maybe a little water feature out there, something like that. The kind of space, by the way, if we can park it right, which I think we can, where you finish a gathering. If you come on a Sunday, you finish a gathering and take a seat, and next thing you know, you look at your watch, you go, oh, it's 1 o'clock, we've been here all day. No problem. Versus currently, we're like, hey, look, we love you and we're so glad you're here, but you need to leave because we have another gathering coming and they need your parking. It just would be great to create that kind of space where you can just enjoy. So that's what we're thinking of sort of for that courtyard. Now, I mentioned we're going to need to simplify. The challenge, if any of you have ever built a home, the challenge, right, is you design the home that you want and then you want everything you designed, but you can't afford it. And so we're really wrestling with that because you can take away so much that you take away the heart of the project. And so we're going to really lean in with our team to figure out how much can you take away, how much can you lower the project, and yet it still has a soul to it, if you will. And thankfully, we've got great people not only in the room from the folks that we've hired, we've got a good group of volunteers that are helping us wrestle with these things as well. And so that's really the heart of what we're doing. Now, the rest of the property, thankfully, the Smith Camp family is still doing peaches. They're still thinking peaches after all these years, which I'm grateful for. And so they are going to continue to farm whatever it is we leave, which is great. Because what that means is you're going to have a completed campus of a 52-acre property, even though we're only developing about 18. Which means there's going to be entrances and exits, 5 of them that we're looking at this point, onto 3 major arteries in Fresno. Yes, or in Clovis, rather. Yes, we're going to have to widen Clovis Avenue southbound. Yes, we're going to widen Knees westbound. That's part of the process, which actually from a traffic flow standpoint is going to be great. And the roundabouts that are designed in the property, the whole thing, you're going to be able to navigate very, very well. Traffic flow is going to be great. And we're pretty excited about, you know, developing this part of it first. The rest of it will come later. We've shared some things early on of sports courts and gyms and double gyms and volleyball courts and all that. Yes, later. Because first, we've got to get onto the property. Number one goal is be able to relocate effectively. And then once we get our feet on the ground in the property, then we'll see what the Lord has for us. The heart has not changed. So do we want to still have a facility that we can bring the community into? Yes, of course. Those who've been around for any number of years know that's actually who we are. That hasn't changed at all. But we are going to have to catch our breath once we get over there and then figure out what the next phase might be. It could be adult classrooms, phase 2. It could be a sanctuary. It could be that we're fine. We need some more play fields. We'll see what the Lord has for us as we get there. But we know to get onto the property and establish there is goal number one. Which brings me to the obvious elephant in the room. There's 2 ways we accomplish this. One is we trim cost off of the project, which we are going to do. But the other is this. There are people who are here this week who don't know what Cultivate is. You started coming in the last 8 months, or you've been around, heard about it, but sort of that train passed your station and you didn't get on board. I just want to invite you to get on board. Not out of obligation or guilt, but because you believe in what we're trying to accomplish. If you're a guest with us, if you don't know Christ, if you don't believe in what we're trying to accomplish, you don't need to give a thing. I'm much more concerned that you come and bring your Bible and hear the gospel than that you give. But if God is stirring your heart to give, I want to invite you to be a part of the process. There are 3 ways you can do that. One is we have updated our app. And so if you're an app person, and many of you demonstrated your capacity with the app based on our missions give here a couple weeks ago. If you go to the give portion of the app, you're going to see this screen right here, and you can give to your campus and just begin to tithe, or you can give to Cultivate if you would like. It's there for you. The other way you can be a part of it is the envelopes that we gave out when we launched the event some 8 months ago, these Cultivate envelopes. They're at the iHub of both campuses, both here at North and at FIG. And we would encourage you to pray about what God would have for you in that regard. Some of the stories that we're hearing, we had a story of a couple in our church who for some strange sort of tax reason were about to get hosed in their taxes. And their CPA said, you got to find some place to give. And they're like, well, there's this Cultivate thing we committed to. And this was, by the way, December when they got this news. So from October to December, they'd had a couple of months of their monthly giving to fulfill their 3-year commitment. They had to fulfill their entire 3-year commitment before year end. and just swallowed hard and gave. And we were praying that God would provide for them. And sure enough, deal comes. God provides. Now, that doesn't happen every time. It's not a prosperity gospel thing. But here's what I want you to understand. God honors our generosity. And so I just want to invite you to participate. If you've never done something like this, Malachi talks about test God and see if he will not open up for you the storehouses of heaven. Because I think what you'll find is an incredible gift is given to you when you begin to hold what God has entrusted to you with an open hand. And so you might want to grab an envelope, pray about it, talk to your significant other spouse about it, whatever, and see what God might have for you. And I would invite you to be a part of it. So for the guest who is not a part of Cultivate, we're in the middle of the most historic capital campaign arguably in the history of our city. We're trying to do the most aggressive gospel-centered kingdom initiative I think that's ever been done in our community. And we need your help. We'd love for you to be a part of it. And if every person gives a little, we got a lot of people. And so that can certainly move the needle. Some folks here are people of means. And if God would stir in your heart, you can see by what we're trying to accomplish here. Estimated, by the way, $1.2 million in fees to the city. So if you work for the city and you can whittle off some of those fees, that would be a solid. But it just means that this is an expensive project. So we're going to need some people to pray about coming in big and helping us out there. So for the guests, we'd love for you to join us. For those that have already committed to your Cultivate commitment, I just encourage you, start giving on that if you haven't, because there's a lot who haven't yet. And I get it. Life happens. But start giving and just see what God does. Because what we're going to do at the end of 3 years is we're going to celebrate the provision of God as we give away $500,000, renovate the Fig campus, and relocate this campus. And I think, honestly, it's going to be historic at the end of it. So we want to invite you to be a part of that process. The reason we wanted to take so much time and walk through the Cultivate update here is we wanted everybody to hear it. We've done gatherings on the side and little town halls here and there, and we've been sort of leaking stuff out, and some of you may have been in some of those rooms. We wanted you to know exactly where we're at. And I want you to know our elders are very prayerful about this. The information we got of the budget being a little higher than we expected, we kind of knew was coming, but now we're dealing with real numbers. The reality of it. And now we've got some good heavy lifting to do. And so we're going to do our part to keep the cost down. I want to invite us as a congregation to continue to be generous because you have been. And let's see what the Lord has for us. Because the goal of it all, right, is to reach the next generation. We want to go reach kids for Christ. We want to develop healthy families. We want to save marriages. We want to be a part of the redemptive story in people's lives, whose lives were going one way, they encounter Jesus, and all of a sudden something else happens. We want to be a part of that. We think that's in keeping with the heart of God. We think that's the purpose of a church. And thankfully, the fingerprints, as I mentioned, of this church are all over the city. We want to do more of that. We want to help more people. We want to give more money away. We want to invest more resources into what God's doing in our community. And we think that at the completion of Cultivate, we're better prepared to do that with a bigger ministry engine. What I've tried to tell people is this facility is great, and it was a gift here at the North Campus, but it's like a four-cylinder, Prius. We relocate the North Campus, our entire ministry, both at Fig and here. Now it's a big V12. We're just in a better position to continue to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.